Recording, timer set. All right, everyone, welcome to Numero number 6. It is Saturday, 1:23. I just came from Walmart and my car AC is not working, so I'm about to get that fixed. But I've been meaning to get that fixed for a long time. Anyways, this one is going to be, I'm going to keep saying this every single time. This one's going to be a good one. This one, every single one are getting better and better. If you're watching this, that means the last episode was Ashley Brackett, the dancer. She's not just a dancer, she's an amazing person, so give her some love. This next person, I don't want to say he's a best friend, I want to say honestly he's a brother. Gotten to know each other for 10 plus years, honestly. The more I think about it, the more I feel older. But welcome, Brooks Hill, the man of many titles, the king of the hill, the one only in the hill, and he'll explain that. Recently just graduated from ECU online, which is crazy, yeah. Lax player. So yeah, Brooks, pretty much, go ahead. Who are you, man? How are you doing?
Well, first of all, I got a tough act to follow up. I'm following up a NCAA national champion and award-winning artist, a doctor of dental science and dental surgery, and a vice president of a company, and an award-winning dancer. So,
no pressure.
No pressure at all. Holy cow. Tough act to follow.
Exactly. Yeah. You imagine the next person is going to have to follow after you. It just gets better and better.
This might be a plus. This might be a filler arc.
Yeah, man. So who are you, man?
Okay. So I'm Brooks Hill. I am class of 2020 alumni at East Carolina University. I just graduated with my bachelor's of science degree in communication with a concentration in journalism and a minor in sports studies. Right now, I work with the Wilson Tobbs, a minor league baseball team in the Coastal Plain League.
Where's Wilson for, I'm pretty sure people know where it is, but let's just say somebody has no idea where.
So Wilson is essentially, if you know where I-95 runs through North Carolina, you're in Wilson. Let's just say that that'd be the easiest way. Wilson's about halfway between Greenville and Raleigh. So it's like a nice little middle ground. And the interstate doesn't run exactly right through Wilson, but it's really darn close to it. So I'd say that's where it is. I work with them in the broadcast and video production department, the side of things this summer. So that's what I do. I'll say that's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Just hanging out at home right now as long as I can.
Yeah, so if you're watching this, like, post everything, I'm pretty sure you're probably seeing how we've been having the biggest Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's, Mother's Day, graduation, birthday party, whatever happening. But, yeah, this is during COVID time. I believe gyms are actually supposed to be opening in, like, a week, so that's good. But want to go start all the way from the beginning. If you don't know Brooks, he's a wealth of knowledge of a lot of things. One of the things being sports, not only like sports that he plays in, but sports that he doesn't play in. And he can be able to just to tell you, not like general information, but to the T, precise information. And I'll definitely give him the credit. That's where I've learned all my sports from. But I want to start all the way from the beginning. So how's life growing up, like family? You know, and I know some of these answers, of course, because again, you're like a brother of mine, but you know, do you have any siblings, etc.?
Yeah, so I am 22 years old. I am an only child. My my parents had me in 1998, and it's, you know, it's not a secret. They kind of got the late start to having kids, and they decided that, you know, they were one and done. So we have lived in Wake Forest all 22 years. We've moved one time when I was going the summer going into eighth grade. We moved from, let's say, like the Wake Forest High School side of town to the Heritage High School side of town.
Ah, okay, so that's not that bad.
So yeah, it really didn't like affect me really all like that much. Like I had a core group of friends. Like that, you know, you would hang out with like on the weekends and, you know, some days after school, you know, playing different sports, playing video games together. And then we moved in summer going into eighth grade. So like, I kind of stopped seeing them a little bit. A couple times I get to go back and see them. They'd still invite me to come to stuff. But like when you don't, like at that kind of age, like when you don't have a car, you're kind of limited to what your parents can and can't do.
Right.
So but that really didn't affect like my, it didn't affect like, luckily it's like a small thing. Like I used to say like, that was like the biggest thing that happened like in my life was like taken away like from them. Mm-hmm. But like, it wasn't like we moved states or we didn't know anybody.
Right. Or countries.
Yeah, exactly. Like I still went to, I stayed at the same school. I went to North Raleigh Christian Academy for 13 years. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky with that. Actually, a thing a lot of people don't know is I didn't get into North Raleigh like right at the beginning of like the start of kindergarten. Uh-huh. I actually, my first day of school, like ever, like in kindergarten, was at Jones Dairy Elementary, which is actually ironically now like closer to my house now than what
right.
I started kindergarten. Just because yeah. Like all the schools have been like, so many schools have been built over in the last 20 years. So
how was life when you were younger? Like, how was that being like an only child? For me, like, I'm the youngest out of four.
So only child is, you know, it's got pros and cons. Mm-hmm. Pros are you don't have to share anything with anybody.
That's true.
You get all the attention. Cons are you get all the attention. And you really can't share with anybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I wanted to go, I don't know, if I wanted to, like, I couldn't go really go out and throw the football. Like, if my dad was busy, I couldn't, like, go throw the football unless, like, one of my friends wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like, a brother can or something like that. So, but, I mean, like, I don't have, like, any complaints. Mm-hmm. Like, I've made great friends who I treat like family now. So, I really don't see being, like, the only time you think that you're an only child is, like, when you're at home. Like, when you're off at school, everything like that, you're with friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a roommate, which is like having a brother. Like when I was living in the dorms, mm-hmm. the first time, like it was kind of crazy because everyone's like, oh, like Bruce, like how are you gonna do like having like a roommate? Like you've never had that before. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's literally fine. You know, I just kind of imagine like, you know, it's just like going to an overnight camp somewhere.
Exactly. It's just instead of a week, it's more months.
Yeah. Like I've had bunk beds before. Like I've had bunk beds before when I went to like Camp Willow Run, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't bunk our beds in college, like me and my first two roommates. So it was pretty, like, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today if I wasn't an only child. Mm-hmm. But there's probably some things that could have been different if I did have a sibling growing up. But, like, I'm not complaining about it at all. Like,
right.
That's fine. I'm living life.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. So, growing up, like, how is NRCA? Because I've had, when I was my senior year of high school, I remember we had like 30 or 40 people who just came out of nowhere from NRCA to Wakefield. And then we also had like vice versa. And I've heard things about it. Like, I know it's a school, of course. And I drive by it all the time when I used to go to the Y to work out. Well, currently not right now because of everything. But how was going to NRCA? And then, like, how is it different than other public schools? And, you know, what are the pros and cons of that?
Oh, yeah. So, NRCA, so right now, and it has been for like the past couple of years, NRCA is the largest K-12 school in Wake County, or the largest private school in Wake County that does all K-12, not like Cardinal Gibbons.
Or like Thales or whatever.
Just high school.
Right.
And so NRCA is non-denominational. Hmm. So it's not like you have to be a certain denomination of faith to be enrolled at the school. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, it's academically challenging. It is like prep, it's like preparatory school. Mm-hmm. I will say, obviously smaller than what a public school graduation class is. I remember at the time I had the largest graduating class at NRCA history with 129 when I graduated.
Wow.
I mean, it's got like, it's, you know, I think the highest one they've had is like 145.
So your graduation was probably like that.
I mean, the guy who spoke at commencement for high school graduation took his time. I remember like my stomach growling and like the girl sitting next to me at graduation started laughing. I was like, yo, I did not think it was going to take this long. Like he got up there, like, you have the high school choir sing, like the jazz ensemble, like play a song, mm-hmm. everything like that. I'm like, okay, like we're good. You know, the superintendent said some stuff. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like time to stand up, walk across the stage. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, now I'd like to welcome our guest speaker. And I was like, oh, okay.
Speed bump. So with that, was it like, what are some common misconceptions, like good or bad, that people have about NRCA that are not true? Like top three.
Okay, common misconception is, I'm trying to think. I got to think about the best way to word this. Okay, so number one is probably everyone's just like snotty. Number one is, you know, you go to a prep school, you're snotty, you're rich, which is not true for everybody. You know, some people, unfortunately, I was blessed. Like, my family was blessed with the opportunity to put me through private school. And obviously, you know, now that I have a diploma from college, you're probably really seeing the benefits of it now. And, you know, number one, that's just, you know, that's the stereotype, is rich people think they're better than other people. Which, I mean, I don't think it's true. I mean, like, all my friends were, I think we're all pretty down to earth people. And you, like, you wouldn't know that some people now, you wouldn't know they went to private school.
That's true.
After college. Yeah. So let's see, number two. Okay. Number two would be that, and maybe it's like a bad stereotype, but like essentially like everybody who does private, like some people in private school actually have, like, some people in NRCA have this mindset is like, oh, because like I go to private school, like my stuff is harder than your stuff.
The title.
Yeah. Which some, like, it has some, like, it has some credit because it is like a, you know, it is a college preparatory school, but you can't discredit what something it was like somebody else is doing, like at a different school.
Right.
You know, like AP history is still AP history. You take the same AP exam.
Right.
Whether you're at Heritage High or you're at North Raleigh. So, you know, that's a bad one, I would definitely say. And then probably the third one is that, like, private school people, like, can't play sport, like, can't compete in sports. Like, they just, like, they're not at the same level. Like some high school. In some sports, you know, in some places that's true. Absolutely. I'm not saying that North Raleigh could go out there and beat Heritage or Wake Forest or Millbrook or Wakefield in football. But that's not saying that you could have people who play football for North Raleigh also play football for Wake Forest or Heritage.
So do you think, you know, like, then with your sports, like, where did that come from? Because the one you have, it's not like a natural, like, there's people who know sports and then there's you. Like, there's a difference. there's people who think that they know sports, but you really know sports, not for, like, the, when someone says, like, oh, like, I wonder who this player is, like being able to say the answer, but you generally know it because it's something that you follow and you're passionate about, and you can see it in, like, your ethic as well, too. So where did that come from? Like, where did that sports hunger come from?
I'd honestly say, like, all my sports knowledge has really come from my dad, like, asking me questions, like, over the years, being like, oh, like, do you know this? Like, do you know who that coach is? Like, do you know, like, what that school's mascot is? And I would say, no, like, why would I know? Like, why would I know that? And then he tells me, and then, honestly, like, it's stuck in there until it comes back up again. Honestly, funny that you should say that. Back in Greenville, like, I have some teammates, and we're talking about sports, everything like that, and people are getting into an argument. And I chime in and say something, and then my friend Easton goes, okay, well, Brooks just said it, so we're going to go with that answer.
That's awesome.
That's just, like, the passion. Honestly, like, I didn't play team sports until my first team sport was when I was in fifth grade.
How's that?
It was exciting. It was flag football, and I was all, like, my parents always asked me, like, if I wanted to play sports, like, as a kid, and I, like, little league baseball or, like, soccer, and I always said no, because I was afraid the coach was, like, going to yell at me for, like, messing up until, like, finally in fifth grade, I finally did it, and I played flag football because at the time, I was, like, severely underweight for someone who's my age. I mean, I still am underweight now for someone who's 22, but back in elementary school, it was, like, a lot worse. So, like, I wasn't going to weigh enough to play tackle football, so I had to play flag football.
How'd that feel? Like, how'd that feel to – I guess, like, have a block where you, I guess there, I don't want to say there's a solution, but there's a solution that you probably don't, like, you go to something and you kind of get, like, a no.
Well, I really never got, like, the hard no. I was kind of, like, self-aware, like, at the time, because, like, my dad would always tell me stories about, like, how he played, like, Pop Warner football, and talked about, you know, you can choose to weigh yourself, like, with pads or without pads, and, like, you have to be, like, this weight, like, for this age. everything like that. And I, it was no secret that I knew, like, I wasn't heavy at all. So it's not like I went out and, like, and told everybody, like, oh, I'm going to go out for football. And then, like, they're like, oh, you don't weigh enough. Like, we just chose, like, flag football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of just rolled with it for two seasons of flag football, like a fall and a spring. Mm-hmm. And eventually I got to play when, like, you know, school football comes around, there's no weight limits. So, and then NRCA was set up, and, you know, kind of circling back to the NRCA thing, I fully believe, like, if I had not gone to NRCA, I would have never played football, because I believe I would have gone to, like, the public. So I would have been districted to go to Heritage High. Mm-hmm. And I believe I probably would have been, like, turned away. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I don't know if they do cuts, like, on their football team. So either I would have been cut, or, you know, they would have tried to, like, make me quit. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, I would have never seen playing time. Mm-hmm. So NRCA kind of gave me the opportunity to play football, you know, fell in love with it. And I was the smallest one. I was smallest one weight-wise all 6 years. And then actually sophomore year, I wasn't the smallest one height-wise anymore. Mm-hmm. One person who I'm friends with to this day was a little bit shorter than me, but he was a beef tank, let me tell you that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went out, and honestly, because I played football seventh grade year, I kind of got, like, an in with, like, the popular kids at NRCA. Mm-hmm. And
was that, like, a shift?
It kind of was. Like, it was, like, my in group. Like, you could tell, like, they respected me more. Mm-hmm. Or I can see it now that they respected me more. It's like, oh, wow, like, he's the smallest one out there, and he's, like, trying, like, he's, like, you can tell, like, he's how hard he's, like, trying to be, like, a part of everything. Mm-hmm. So, it was, like, it was good. Mm-hmm. I don't have, like, any complaints about it. And then, honestly, like, those guys, like, became, like, my friends, and then I'm the one who introduced a lot of those guys to playing lacrosse in high school.
And so, where's lacrosse come from? Did you just, like, one day pick up a stick and just the power came? So
my cousin played high school lacrosse for Wakefield. Mm-hmm. And I went to my first time I ever picked up a stick was at a YMCA camp in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Back when the YMCA had sports camps. Mm-hmm. And the coach, like, they brought in the Wakefield High coach to lead it. Mm-hmm. Because of the Y, at the time the Y didn't have anybody who knew lacrosse. Mm-hmm. So That's where it came from. And, you know, we played, like, little, like, half field. There was only, like, 10 of us. Mm-hmm. We didn't play with helmets or gloves or anything like that. So we were just trying to figure it out. And, you know, someone told my dad, and it's kind of, you know, kind of stereotypical. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, hey, he's like, lacrosse is, like, white man's football. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Brooks has a chance to excel at that if he's going to think about going into football. You know, slightly racist, but mm-hmm. I never saw it that way.
Right.
And it's,
you just kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's a fact that lacrosse is a predominantly Caucasian dominated sport. Mm-hmm. Don't know why that is, but I love it. Mm-hmm. And so I liked it a whole bunch. And I went to camps. I started going to the Duke lacrosse camp over summer. Mm-hmm. With their coaching staff, and then I got on my first team, and I was in eighth grade. I was playing club ball. Did that for a year. You know, NRCA didn't have a team yet. We were, ironically enough, private school, not playing lacrosse, right?
Yeah, I feel like in the movies, that's like the number one sport.
Yeah, you see. Like stereotypical private school sport.
Yeah,
and
battle like fencing.
Kind of stuck. Like, ninth grade, I really didn't do any. Like, right, ninth grade, I just went to – ninth and tenth grade, I went to overnight camps. Let me tell you what. Overnight sports camps is, mm-hmm. like, the best thing ever.
Y'all just play sports all the time?
Yeah. Like, literally, like, honestly, looking back now, I do not know how, like, my body handled doing three sessions a day. Like, you had a morning. So, like, all right, just paint the picture. So, you do lacrosse. This is, like, freshman – this is just after, like, freshman year Brooks. Mm-hmm. So you have wake up, breakfast, morning session, come back, shower. They always use, like, you just, like, shower after every session, because then you don't get diaper rash. Mm-hmm. after. And you know what? I was like, I'm not going to get diaper rash. Uh-huh.
Little did he know.
Yeah, little did I know. And come back, shower, lunch, afternoon session. Then you have, after like afternoon, you have like a long like 3 or 4 hours like where you can hang out, and you got to like walk across like Duke's campus, and like they had like a basketball court, like an outdoor basketball court, so like people could go play. They had like the common rooms open, so like foosball, ping pong, TV, stuff like that. And then you had a night, you know, you had dinner, and then you had night session. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you had pizza at the end. So like you're doing like 6 hours of lacrosse a day. And honestly, I don't know how like ninth grade Brooks like kept up with that. Like I was kind of thinking about that this week. Like that's quite crazy. I remember one time I tore my knee up, so they had turf fields that some level, like sometimes you get to play on. They would rotate like what field like every age group plays, because they had like some elementary kids, like middle school kids, and then they have high school kids. Mm-hmm. But they would rotate like which field like you play on like every session. So like one time we were on the turf field, and I was going for a ground ball and I got clocked in the back. I remember it. And I went like, it's like a slip and like on turf, it's like a slip and slide. Uh-huh. And you just slide for a couple yards. I like look up, like my leg, like my left leg is like bleeding down the front. And I remember the cool thing about that was, is I got to go see the athletic trainer after like the session was over. Uh-huh. And like, she like disinfected it and like wrapped it like in a bandage. And then she drove me in the golf cart back to the dorms. Uh-huh. Which is probably like a half mile walk, like from the fields to the dorms where we were staying. And I was just like, oh, like I got to ride in the golf cart. I was like, I got to ride in the golf cart.
It's a little check. Yeah. So you mentioned the Y earlier, and I feel like I think you've spent a little bit of time at the Y. I think so. Maybe a year or two. But can you kind of explain, how did the Y come and how? Because another word that you use a lot is two things. One thing that we'll talk about is adversity, because you mentioned that. You've not mentioned the word, but you mentioned different scenarios that you've had to go through, and you've not stopped, but you've learned and then gone over. But then the other thing is also family that you've mentioned a lot, not only with your family, but just in general. So what is the why to you, and what is your, I guess, the experience that you've kind of gone throughout and lessons that you've learned? I know that's a big one.
Yeah. So we just probably have to like break it down to like little like subsections.
Exactly. The top ones.
So I started going to the Y for summer camp as soon as I could. You know, back in the day before, like, you had, like, online registering for everything. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom would wake up, like, at 5 in the morning, the day of camp registration. You know, there's a line out the door. You're, like, signing your kids up for summer camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would be signed up by the entire summer minus, like, 1 week of family vacation. Mm-hmm. So I would always, like, spend my summers at the Y. You know, I went from like kinder, like as young as you can, kindergarten all the way up through essentially the SIL program, the junior counselor program. Mm-hmm. And eventually became an employee at 16. Mm-hmm. I have been told it was a no doubt as long as I filled out the application, but I can't confirm who my sources said that.
Mm-hmm. So to either confirm or deny.
Well, I mean, there's no denying. I mean, I can confirm that somebody said it. There's no denying that. And then,
how did that feel? How did that feel going to a camp for so long, and then after that, you're now on the other side?
I mean, it's definitely like a dream. It's definitely like a dream. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I have a friend, Anthony, who kind of did it with me. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were campers together, and we were, you know, junior counselors together. Mm-hmm. And then we applied together. And so, like, when I got the call from some, like, you know, he told me that I got the job, I was, you know, I was excited like that. I remember, and then we had a leaders club meeting the next day, like, on a Monday night.
Yeah.
And one of the people was like, Brooks, like, I thought you'd be, like, more excited, like, you got the job. And I was like, oh, well, you know, like, Anthony's here. Like, I haven't talked to him. Like, I don't know if he's, like, I don't know if he's gotten it yet. Like, I don't want to be walking in and be like, I got the job, everybody. And then, like, he didn't get it.
Right.
Like, that odd scenario, because, like, it's not – like at that time, like I had not really developed into the biggest level of confidence that I have now, mm-hmm. as you would say. Mm-hmm. I teeter the line of confidence and cockiness very tightly nowadays. So,
but that's important that you not only know that, but you acknowledged it, because a lot of people like see themselves very confident, but they pull back because they don't want to like push someone else.
Yeah, I try to like actually, we can. Yeah, let me say that. Let me get to that one. So coming a counselor, let's see, I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So yeah, so I was a counselor for 6 years. Mm-hmm. The last year I was on staff, I got a promotion that I thought was overdue, mm-hmm. to be on the leadership staff as a programmer, a position that I had kind of asked for the year before. Mm-hmm. And kind of got turned down, which I really, to this day, I still don't know why I did, but you know, it's water under the bridge now. I still had a good summer. Mm-hmm. And you know, some, you know, one thing led to another, and then I got to essentially go out on top, like on my terms. Mm-hmm. the way I wanted to. I didn't think it was going to be 6 years. I definitely thought it was going to be a 5-year thing, but you know, one thing leads to another. You make a decision. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to look back on the decision that why I decided to come back and be like, oh, like that was so stupid, but I had a good time like anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, might as well enjoy kind of like the last summer, like being like a real child.
Right.
I know a lot of people say, oh, you're like, you're done being a child, like once you go to college, but you know, college is kind of just like being like a bigger child.
Exactly.
You know, like no parents, everything like that. And then I come home every summer. So mm-hmm. it's not like I stay in Greenville, like where I could just let loose everything.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead. I would say go ahead. I know you probably got some different questions about the why.
So yeah, that mean, I think the biggest one is the family aspect, because when we work together, we've been on both paths, and you started a whole lot earlier. Mine was broken up a little bit. But there was a time, and we all know it, where a summer where it's the why, like everything, there's ebbs and flows. There's a cycle every couple of years. There's a cycle, like when people graduate from high school to college, college to life, et cetera, and it always happens. And when we were entering into the why, the people who were there were finishing their cycle, and it was kind of a summer where when people left, there was no like system and like process for like, okay, you do this, you do this. But then the people who were there, like founding fathers or something and mothers, kind of put stuff together. And I feel like that was when everything really shifted. So like, what was that in like your perspective of how really that family aspect came? Cause I feel like before, you know, it was just like you go, you clock in, you leave, you go, you clock, like it was a job. Of course it's so fun. But how, like, what do you think was that happened? Because I know you were definitely a big influence to that.
Okay. So, again, this is probably teetering the line of cockiness and confidence again. So
you're allowed to be cocky. Do it. This is your podcast.
Yeah. So the year that you're talking about is the summer of 2017. And first, we have to backtrack a little bit. So when I came in, you had people like all-time greats. I'm actually mm-hmm. working on together, but putting like an all-time summer camp staff list.
Yeah.
And sending it out to people to like vote and everything like that. Play different positions. But you have people like Kiwi and Putt-Putt and Loot and Turtleneck.
Yep. Crash.
Yeah. Crash. Like you have them like at the, and you know, they're at the top. Like right. they're the standard of what you want to be like when you're a counselor. Like you want to be admired by the kids like that much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2016 summer, you kind of got the feeling that people were, you know, walking away. You can't work at the Y forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have to, you know, people's jobs take them somewhere else. You know, some people get teaching jobs or some mm-hmm. people, you know, get their, like, are staying in school or like staying at school for the summer. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back. So before the summer, like during like training of like the summer of 2017, I had a talk again, like with my friend Anthony, and I, you know, I kind of told him that honestly, I don't think I've ever really like told anybody like this before, like besides him. And I was like, this is the year that like, we're going to take, I was like, this is the year that we're going to take over. Mm-hmm. Like, this is our chance to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And I would honestly say, I saw my opportunity because nobody was like, nobody's at the top. Like you have your bosses and everything like that, mm-hmm. but you need like a leader of the people, like the leader of like, of the staff, like who's the go-to person
right
on that. And I was like, I can take this, mm-hmm. like this can be me.
What do you think that came from? Was it sports? Was it like was it just like the breaking point? Not honestly breaking point. Like, was that, do you think the time where you kind of felt that rush of confidence and just taking a leap?
It could be. So like this was after my freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. So you go from being like the top dog senior year of high school to the absolute bottom of the barrel
yeah. in college. Mm-hmm.
And, but like the why is not structured like that because, you know, there's high school and college kids working together.
Right.
So I honestly really believe I saw the opportunity and I was like, I'm going to be the face. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to step up. And the thing was, is nobody got in my way on my path up to the top. Mm-hmm. Now, some people didn't like that. Once I was at the top, they didn't agree with like everything, like I said, and everything that I did, mm-hmm. but they didn't stop me when I was making my way up like the mm-hmm. ladder. So that summer we started playing staff sports against Finley mm-hmm. and Camp High Hopes. And we also I decided, I was like, well, why don't I invite everybody over to my house? I have a fire pit, mm-hmm. you know, hang out. And honestly, it was like a one-time thing. And then people were like, oh, like, hey, we should do another one. And then just so happened, it was like the next week. Mm-hmm. And then we just made it a weekly thing where either Friday or Saturday, the first year we had a rule and it was like no leadership staff whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was just, like, me and Anthony created that for, like, a safe space.
Right.
For all, like, the regular counselors to come. And, like, if they wanted to talk about something, like, they didn't have to, like, look behind their back.
Or,
like, maybe they weren't talking to the walkie-talkie to make sure, like, somebody, like, overheard them. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give that space to vent for everybody. And, you know, I was more than happy to have, like, the people, like, over, like, at my house. It kind of... You know, if I'm going to be like at the top, you got to be open, like share your things. Mm-hmm. You know, like staff sports, I elected myself. I picked myself to be the captain.
Big C.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's kind of, you know, in the sports world, that's bad that you picked mm-hmm. yourself to be captain, but nobody else was stepping up. Nobody else wanted to be and said they wanted to be captain. I even mm-hmm. asked, I was like, anybody want to be captain? And everyone was like, no. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be the captain then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing led to another. Staff meetings, you know, you say clock in, go home, or clock out, go home. Staff meetings, now we're sitting in the parking lot for 2 hours talking about a staff meeting that we had that only took 1 hour, mm-hmm. talking about everything else that's going on. So me and Anthony started that when we were in Leaders Club and then it translated into summer camp. So – that was nice. And, you know, 2007, like after like the end of that year, we thought 2018 summer was going to be the last one. So we were like, okay, like let's go out and we're just going to have a bang. Mm-hmm. We got real t-shirts made for staff sports. We started playing 2 games a week, having a bonfire, staff meetings. So we were together like every day, all mm-hmm. day, like 4 days a week. So it was really crazy. And honestly, like that just kind of, I don't know. And then, you know, 2018 happened, like a situation arose. Everybody was like, really like, that summer I really felt like embraced by like all the other workers. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like helping me with a situation
throughout the summer. Right.
Yeah. And like, everybody like had like everybody was like wanted to like see me like succeed and like the things I was doing like outside of camp, mm-hmm. like it was like some personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And
how did that feel?
Oh, it felt great. Mm-hmm. Like the high felt amazing, you know, and the low felt bad. Mm-hmm. But like it was honestly like that year probably was like my 2018 was probably my favorite year. Mm-hmm. You know, spending all that time together at the Y. It was great. Like, you know, it definitely like helped me shape like the way that I am today is probably because of some of the counselors that I had, like mm-hmm. when I was a camper and then the ones I looked up to, like when I was on staff. And then when I finally got, the promotion, I was like, I got this, like, I don't have to have someone tell me how to do this job. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more observant than like what people probably give me credit for.
Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of being prideful. And I think that's one of the things it's not a matter of being prideful. It's like a matter of you've you've had experience. It may not be your personal experience, but you've had years of experience because you've been there for years and you've seen different people and you kind of pick and choose what you like, what you don't like, and kind of form it to be your own.
Yeah. So honestly, like I would just say about the why, like the opportunity for someone to get the power, like the opportunity for someone to be the top was there. And I just think I'm the one who got up there and I went and claimed it.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask thank you for sharing that, because that's also good, because there's some people who've never done anything at the Y or never been there. And if you're watching this, you should definitely, it's you're not going to get the biggest bucks, you're not going to get the millions, etc. But I think what you're going to get is a whole lot worth it, because we've talked about it and he briefly mentioned it. But like, again, I've known Brooks, it's 2020, I think before 2010. So it's like at least 10 plus years, and we've talked every year. And the past 2-3 years, because of that 2017 year, really brought everyone together. And it turned out from a job to really more of like, I don't even want to say it. Like we would go and it would just be going to hang out with people. But of course we understood we were working and et cetera. But the family that was built, and you know, some people might think that he's cocky or prideful for saying it, but it's really true. And I have to say, like, thank you for doing that. But what he really put together was like I don't want to say like a broken family, but it was like a family, but pieced together, because you had everyone who was very different, not only race, sex, what they believed, what they didn't believe, but you had people who were different, but they came together for one thing and they were always there for each other. And one of the things that I did notice, you being an only child, is like you kind of pieced together like brothers and sisters, but I noticed it's not necessarily, and it just came to me when I was here explaining, it's not necessarily you did it for yourself, but you did it for others. Like, why, even though there's things that you personally did and you wanted to achieve, but at the end of the day, you were doing it for other people. Why do you think, why?
I mean, I've always been like, it's probably the way I was raised. I was always raised helping people. Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, that's probably like an underlying theme. Mm-hmm. I definitely like wanted to get people together, because like, I think it's fun. Like, I think it's more fun than just coming home and then being, you know, falling asleep till dinner time.
Right.
Waking up, eating, showering, and going to bed, and then waking up at 6 a.m. the next day to do it all again. Mm-hmm. To like have something to like look forward to. And you know, that's something that the people who came before us like didn't do.
Right.
So one thing that like I have like on like my legacy with the Y was I was able to like get everybody together. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I think everybody understands now, like I'm a huge sports guy. It was like I literally put together like a team, mm-hmm. like a hodgepodge team, like of people of all different skills. Like we have some people who never played a team sport before,
mm-hmm.
Come and try stuff. And then we have people like me who have now played like tons of team sports and everything like that. And I'm playing sports that I've never participated in, like basketball,
mm-hmm.
or like soccer. Like I never played on a soccer or a basketball team, but like I still go like, and I still do that. And you know, I think that part of the reason is that people can look at my like competitiveness, like my drive, and like it inspires them to like want to do stuff like too. Like the people who are like on the fence about playing or like participating, like go out there and like they see how much fun like I'm having, and then at the moment it might not look like I'm having fun, especially if I'm losing. Like they see how my drive is to like compete and like to actually just do something,
mm-hmm.
is hopefully like an inspirational tool to somebody. Like it influence, like hopefully like it influences them. But you know, if anything, it gave the people who worked like the last 3 summers, mm-hmm. a whole lot more like a bigger group of friends and people that they can call on, you know, like when they feel bad, or you know, they can catch up with or anything like that. And you know, now everybody, ironically enough, the people who started in 2017 are now like just finished their first year of college.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we all went our different ways. And we're all kind of back in Wake Forest now, Wake Forest Raleigh,
right?
The virus.
Pretty sure if the virus isn't here, we'd probably be having a bonfire tonight on a Saturday.
I still have the same fire pit. I look at it, I was like, man, like we haven't used that in almost a year now. So,
and we'll talk about college, but what is? I'll say it. Let's talk about like college now, because you've always been a big ECU person.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from? And I guess you've gone to college. Like, I don't want to like downplay that at all, because that's a big thing. Like, there are people who come from, I'm from Kenya, there are people who come from different countries, and they're like, oh, your parents want you to be a doctor and et cetera, and college is like this gigantic boss you have to beat at the end of the game that you have to practice X amount of years for. So how was that? Where did the ECU love come from, and how's the experience?
I'm a second generation ECU alum now, which is actually kind of weird to say. I need to start introducing myself as an ECU alum.
Exactly.
So my dad graduated back in the late 70s. And he graduated from the business school. Actually, fun fact, it took him 5 years, and I got out in 4. So I beat my dad in college. And so he was a – and my mom went to ECU her junior year. She went to Peace College, now William Peace University, back when Peace College was a 2-year school and only all girls.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So she got her associate's degree from Peace, transferred to ECU to start – her bachelor degree, and then transferred after her junior year to and graduated from NC State. But you wouldn't know that my mom graduated from NC State because she doesn't have anything that says NC State.
That's true.
My dad was always a big ECU fan. And you know, we went to games like when we were kids. Eventually we got season tickets for football. I was just always raised, you know, ECU, like ECU. Luckily for me, like, and then like my cousins, 4 of them went to ECU. Actually, well, 3 on one side, 2 on the other. So 5 of them went to ECU. So like, it's just kind of like in the family. You know, we're all Raleigh people. And you know, the biggest thing like I got from like being like a Raleigh kid, I'd say like senior year of high school, like junior year, like freshman year of college was like, oh, like you just didn't get into like UNC or NC State. I was like, no, like I did not want to go to Chapel Hill or NC State. I was just raised that way that I don't want to go to either one of those schools.
Right.
No matter what. He's like, oh, it's like, people's like, you can still be an ECU fan and go to like UNC. I was like, no, like, I don't. And like, honestly, like side note, the people who wear like UNC and NC State stuff on campus are like, you're at the wrong school. Like, hey, you know what? Here's a positive. He's like, oh, like I'm a Carolina basketball fan. I was like, okay, well, you go to ECU, like, you can be a Carolina basketball fan. Just don't wear Carolina basketball stuff to, like, class and walking around campus. Like, oh, well, you know, like, I applied to Carolina. I was like, oh, that's great. So you're saying that someone told you that you weren't good enough and you're still, like, it's like a girlfriend-boyfriend thing. You get dumped by person A and you still just follow them around.
What is insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result?
Honestly, that's my take about people wearing different things on campus. But college, like NRCA definitely prepared me a whole lot. I feel like the reason why I did so well in college after like freshman, like after the first semester was probably because I went to NRCA. I think anybody can struggle with the switch from high school to college first semester, just getting used to things and how like the system works. So, like, I did not do good, like, my first semester. Like, I only had, like, a 2.7 GPA. But then, like, the next, like, sophomore and junior year, I made the honor roll all 4 semesters those 2 years and then got a little bit of senioritis fall semester this year. Not going to lie. I got my first D ever, like, in anything. But luckily, I did, like, a grade replacement class. I took an extra class this semester to grade replace the D. And I actually got an A in that class, so it did that went well. And then my last semester of college, I actually had my highest GPA ever and had a 3.8 in the semester. So I was able to be on the dean. I was able to be on the dean's list my last semester of college.
What does that mean, by the way? That's like a general question from me. I've never Googled it, even though I've always told myself I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, so like it works different, like all the universities. So like ECU has the honor roll, which is anywhere for like anyone with a 3.0 to a 3.4 semester GPA, you get an email like honor roll. You just get like an email saying like, oh, congratulations on like being on the honor roll, everything like that. Dean's list. I believe you get to go to a dinner, like in the student center. And then like the chancellor's list for like anybody with like a 4.0, like semester average, which is like all like regular A's, like no A minuses, I think, to get a, to go to a dinner at the chancellor's house. Mm-hmm. So it's like just like a little bit of an accomplishment.
Gotcha.
Like it's something to like strive for.
But it should be everything.
Like, yeah, you know, it's just a goal. And, you know, sometimes like one thing, like I kind of have to tell people, you know, you just like, just because you set a goal doesn't mean you're going to achieve it every time. Like my goal was after freshman year to make the honor roll every semester. And then, you know, senior year and Christmas time, get my grades back, and I didn't make the honor roll. And then, you know, like my parents were upset. It was like, well, your goal was to make the honor roll. I'm like, yeah. I said, also my goal was to play college. I was like, my goal was to play college football. I didn't meet it. So, but I think one thing people have to learn with is it's okay not to achieve your goals every single time. As long as you like keep striving. Like I didn't let my goal, I didn't let myself tank after I didn't make the honor roll one semester. The next semester I jumped the honor roll and went to the dean's list. So essentially like I made up for it, but that's one thing like people always like have to strive with, you know. And you know, goal setting comes a lot from like sports. You have to see like being a, like I'm going to be a coach one day in something. And you have to be realistic sometimes. And, you know, you might not win every single game, even though you want to. But, you know, you can't go and beat the number one team ranked in the state or in the nation every single time. This is not going to happen. You know, some teams are better than other teams. It's just a fact. But you have things that you can look – like you have things that you can, like, try to achieve. Like, oh, you know, our goal is to try to put up 10 goals, like, against the number one team. Mm-hmm. Or our goal is to not take – any penalties. And you know, you take two penalties in a game against the number one team in the nation. Okay, well, you only took two penalties against the number one team in the nation. Or you know what, you didn't score 10 goals, but you got 8.
Right.
So
it's being okay with setting a goal, but not if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's okay with
destroying the world.
You don't have to achieve it every single time, as long as you don't get, just because you can't let it tank yourself. You can't let it like drag you down. Right. That you didn't achieve your goal, you know, you're gonna have another opportunity again sometime. Mm-hmm. Not be against like the same team or like at the same job or anything like that. Well, you have another opportunity
to do it. So do you think, and the next thing is not necessarily fast forwarding it, but you played I'd like for you to definitely touch on that briefly before we talk about, you know, COVID graduation, but how was playing? I got to see, first of all, he would ask me to come to Greenville a lot, and I'd say no just because I was focusing on other things. And like this past year, I was finally able to, which I am very glad that I was able to come there from August off of a random conversation, a random dinner to this year. But it's also good because like, same thing with Ashley. We talk about it briefly in our podcast, like having friends who support you for your goals and know, like, I don't want to say the barriers, but know like the limits. So for example, you're a sports person. If you're playing lacrosse, I'm not going to ask you, hey, Brooks, like, let's go eat dinner. You're going to be like, no. Because, and even though it's such a small thing, like you look at it, well, it's like, well, this person doesn't necessarily want me to focus kind of like what I want to do. But one thing that I feel like we've always had, even for our other friends we hang out with, is like the respect for each other for whatever that we're doing. Even though it may not be in our field, we still have that respect of like, okay, that person has to do this and then they'll come. So I guess what was like a good memory of lacrosse, being able to play for that at a collegiate level?
Yeah. So for everyone who doesn't know, I played lacrosse at ECU. It is club lacrosse, but it's the highest level that ECU has to offer. It's in a league called the MCLA, which is the Men's Collegiate Lacrosse Association. Mm-hmm. And what that is, it's basically for all the schools who don't have a Division I lacrosse team. There's only like 68 Division I lacrosse teams in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. Almost everywhere has a club team. So like that's what we play in. And, you know, we play the schools that are big names, like NC State, South Carolina, Clemson, Wake Forest, that don't have Division I teams. And we practice 4 days a week, travel every weekend or have a home game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's taxing. Like you have to be like, it's not like you, like adult rec league where you just come up and you play.
Right.
everything like that. You know, we pay our way to play. Like, you know, you pay dues, like a fraternity or sorority, or like being part of like a club, like after school and high school.
Right.
But it's all for people who love playing lacrosse and still want to play like at the college level. And, you know, a lot of people transfer who play like Division I or Division II don't really like all the don't realize like how much of a job one sports is, with like, you know, the 5 a.m. weights, morning practice, class, afternoon practice, and who just still love lacrosse and they still want to play lacrosse and they just want to do practice and playing, which is completely fine. That, you know, if that's what people want to choose, they have every right to do it. So my favorite, I don't know, my favorite, probably two. There's one like on the field and one off the field moment. Mm-hmm. Probably off the field moment was being selected to run the social media my junior year. So I ran the ECU lacrosse media for my junior and senior year of college. And our Instagram followers doubled. Mm-hmm. And we gained over 200 Twitter followers over the time that I took over, which is really like a proud accomplishment.
Right.
And you get to interact with some really cool people.
You have like a brotherhood.
In the lacrosse community who, like, I could say a name and then everybody else in the room would have no idea. But, like, oh, like, we DM'd each other, even though, like, I wasn't representing myself. I was representing the team. Like, I was talking to them. Like, I met a broadcast. So, like, ESPN has, like, groups of broadcasters. And, like, you have, like, the A block, the B block, and, like, the C block. So, like, if you're showing three games at one time, you know, the top-level premier game is going to get the A block.
Right.
And then, like, you know, the game on ESPN2 gets the B block, and then the one on ESPNU gets the C block, like, commentator team. And the guy who does the play-by-play for the A block was announcing an ECU basketball game before the lacrosse season started, and I recognized him. I was like, I think that's Anish Shroff. And so I went up and talked to him after the game. I was like, excuse me, like, are you Anish Shroff? He was like, yes. And I was like, oh, like, I play lacrosse here at ECU. He was like, oh, okay. And we had like a 10-minute conversation. Then, you know, the next day we added each other on LinkedIn. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say like that was one of like the good like off the field moments. On the field, I'd have to say junior year. It was the last game of the year. And this was at a time I was playing lawn stick midi. So that is like I'm playing with a stick that's essentially like, the same height that I am.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah, and I've never done it before. Before that season, the coach at the time asked me to switch that to that position. Mm-hmm. He said I would get more playing time that way. So I was like, of course, like I'll do it. And we had the best face-off kid I've ever seen in my entire life. He actually got third team All-American that year. Mm-hmm. And we had a face-off play. Like, you know, one of our starting defensemen went down with an injury. So the starting LSM moved down to his spot. And then I took the LSM spot. So I was getting a ton of reps that game. And we were playing Elon. And we had, like, Garrett's the name of the faceoff guy. And he was just torching this kid every time. And at halftime, like, Coach drew up a play on the clipboard and was like, Brooks, you know, I want you to take two steps with your man and then just cut straight to the goal. You're going to be open. And we started doing it. And eventually, like, after, like, the third time that we did it, Garrett passed me the ball and I was standing like right on the crease and I was able to catch it with my long pole and just dump it in the net. And then, you know, everybody like started celebrating everything like that. Like it was wild. Like it was wild.
How did that feel? How'd that feel of scoring a goal and like knowing exactly where it, like, it's not, you didn't just walk on the field and you became this, like you'd be able to make that shot with amazing accuracy.
Like, one thing's for sure, I have, like, probably the slowest shot on the team, hands down. And I'm nowhere near the best out of the group of guys that was out there. But everybody was just, like, so excited for me because, like, they saw, like, how much, like, I worked, like, at practice and, like, how much, like, I try to do everything that, like, they do. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, I might not be able to do every, like, perfectly, like, everything, I just try to, like, work on my craft and like just getting like the simple basic stuff down, because the game really does switch when you go from high school to college a whole lot. Like high school, I was the starter. I was the guy, you know, started every game all 2 years that I played varsity lacrosse. To go to, like, you know, this was like my first like real big opportunity to like really like play, like it was junior year. And Sure enough, like, I remember, like, I could draw the play up on a clipboard, like, right now, mm-hmm. if I had to. And, like, everybody, you know, everybody, like, the six of us who were on the field, like, all, mm-hmm. like, celebrated then. And then, like, I ran to the sidelines. And then, like, I did, like, a big, like, jump up, like, side bump, like, on the sideline. I jumped, like, so high. Like, you, like, sometimes you just take flight. Like, the adrenaline's pumping. Like, you're taking flight. Mm-hmm. And someone on the bench was like, holy cow, did Brooks just score? And he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, dude. He's like, let's go. He's like, this game's over. Ironically enough, we ended up winning that game by, like, 8, mm-hmm. I think. But I do remember that, like, the goal that I scored was, like, technically the game-winning goal.
Right.
Like, that was goal number 5, and they only had 4.
So that was,
like, mm-hmm. not necessarily that I won the team the game, but it's something that, like, I remember. And, like, technically, like, in the book, it does say, like, game, like, technically it will be, like, the game-winning goal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just something to – it was really nice to, like, see everything. Like, you had, like, worked so hard for, like, 3 years to, like, see something benefit like that.
And now, I remember we spoke, and it's like, oh, when you're going to school, and we were like, oh, what would happen if you, you know, would you ever think about graduating online or et cetera? Then everything happened. So, like, how did that necessarily impact your, you know, everybody says, like, you know, it's your senior year, the year. Like, yeah. How did everything kind of happen and impact that? And, like, how has that, you know, how's that been for you, and how have you been able to overcome it?
Yeah. So I was on spring break when they announced first that they were just extending spring break for another week.
Right.
So it was like, okay, like, another week of spring break, they're going to let this thing die down. Like, you know, being oblivious to the situation, I was like, oh, okay.
Exactly. I remember you were all here.
They're just going to get this under control. Just got an extra week of spring break. Get to help or do whatever. So, and I was coaching at NRCA that week. And because I want to go back, and I love coaching, and it's the same coach who was my coach in high school, still mm-hmm. there. And it was a Thursday game, and they asked me, like, hey, like, if you want to come with us to Greensboro, you can. And I was like, awesome, like, I am, and help coach the defense, because Coach Jay is only by himself right now. He doesn't have an assistant. Mm-hmm. So it's nice for him to focus on the offense, and I'll take the defense and focus with them. And, like, we're getting ready to, like, leave, and, like, Coach Jay's like, hey, like, the team that we're supposed to play Friday, like, the team tomorrow, like, already canceled. Yeah. We're not playing any more sports. And I was like, oh, okay, like, this could be, like, the last game for a while, knowing that it would be the last game of the season for those guys, and I hate it for them almost worse than me. Okay. So I was like, okay, like, you know, let's go out. We won the game by 1, which is great. And then coming back, you know, I think I get an email. And it was like, hey, ECU is going to shift to online indefinitely. And I was like, oh, geez. Like, well, indefinitely means you don't know how long.
Right.
And I was just like, I put on Twitter, I was like, I really hope this only lasts for like a week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's whatever. Well, it didn't. And at first, when like all the online stuff started, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try to do this at home. But like, if it doesn't work, I'm going to go back to Greenville and do it. Mm-hmm. Well, everything like school wise, like in Greenville, like shut down. So like you couldn't go to the library, anything like that. So it'd just be like in your apartment. Mm-hmm. And my mom had started working from home, obviously. And we didn't know if like we could do like both of us like being at home, like I'm doing work, she's doing work. You know, is the Wi-Fi going to hold up for all of us?
Right.
But, you know, we made it work. And, you know, she went to the beach a little bit and worked from her beach house. I stayed here. And one thing led to another, and then, you know, 1 month and then 2 months, and then you're like, I'm not going back to school. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, graduation happened, where they announced that graduation will be online. So it kind of like shell shocks you a little bit, like, wow, like I didn't get to fit, like I didn't get to have my senior night for senior year of lacrosse. Mm-hmm. I was on spring break when this happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, I really didn't get to like say like goodbye to like any of my friends from lacrosse, mm-hmm. or anybody else for that matter. So I really hate that. That's probably like the thing like I hate the most, was I didn't get to say goodbye to everybody. Mm-hmm. Even though like I know that like RC, a lot of them again, there would probably be a couple that I don't ever see again. and I hate that. But, like, there's no way that I think that, like, all 40 of us are going to be, like, back together again, like, at an alumni weekend, or, like, an alumni weekend, like, you know, down the road or anything like that. It'd just probably be too hard to do. Right. You don't know where everyone's going to be in 5 years. So, but someone told me, I started working out with this group called F3, which is a faith of fellowship and family, maybe not in that order, but they work out at 5:30 every morning outdoors, and it's only guys or only men. And I'm the young, at the time I was the youngest one out there. One of my friends who I met early on in, at ECU, who's actually an academic advisor for a different department, was like, hey, like, why don't you come out to, like, the middle school, like, at 5:30? And I'm like, oh, well, he called me out on Twitter. So, like, oh, all right. Well, like, I'm not a chicken. So I was like, I'll go. And I, you know, I did their workout, and I probably started, I did that for about a month, and then school got canceled. So, like, it was really fun. Like, you know, it was really great to have, like, I guess, like, older men, I guess, like, in my life, like, someone who's, like, not, like, people who are, like, a little bit younger than my dad's age, kind of, like, as, like, I guess, like, little mentors, kind of like that, you know, like, they see, like, how I'm doing, everything like that. This is really great, like, commodity and fellowship.
It's like your own personal, like, executive board.
And kind of like that, because, you know, like, my dad's, like, in Wake Forest, but, like, you know, these guys, like, checking out, obviously, they're nowhere, like, near my dad, like, anything. But it's just nice to have, like, someone who's, like, not around your age, like, checking up on you and, like, looking, like, asking you, like, what you're doing, like, you know, going to eat with, stuff like that. And he told me, he said, hey, you remember, like, finish is finish no matter what. And I was kind of thinking about that when I was watching the graduation video the other day. You know, it was, I didn't hear my name called. I didn't expect to. But, you know, they conferred my degree. My diploma will hopefully get here in July. And we're have a nice frame picked out for it. I mean, it's not going to say, like, COVID-19 on there. It's still going to say Bachelor of Science, no matter what. So that's the thing you guys got to, you know, take with a grain of salt. It's unlucky that I was the one, or, like, I'm a part of, like, the people who, like, this happened to. I really, like, I wouldn't wish it on anybody else. Like, I wouldn't, like, oh, like, why couldn't it have been, like, this, 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 and this? But, you know, it's a learning experience. And, you know, when people ask you now, like, what's, like, the greatest adversity that you find to face, you know, COVID-19, like, college could have a really good run. I hate it. I think I honestly hate it more for, like, the high school seniors more than the college seniors, because I feel like high school graduation – is somewhat of, like, a bigger deal for some people. You know, not everybody goes to college, and there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people graduate from high school. More statistically, more people graduate from high school than college. So it's a bigger deal. And, like, I think I'm an outlier when I say this, but a lot of people say that the people you meet in college are going to be, like, your friends for life. And there's definitely some people in college that, like, I will be friends, like, for long term. But, on, like, I'm still really great friends with my friends I made from high school. We still have, like, a group chat, and we talk, like, all the time in that. And, like, when we're all at home, like, we all, like, every Thanksgiving, like, and Christmas, like, we try to do something together with everybody. So, I mean, I don't know if, like, the high school seniors now are, like, oh, like, well, like, y'all are really about to go, like, your different ways. Like, more people go different from high school than people from college into, like, post-grad.
So, and thank you for sharing that. And I feel like this one's a good one, because it's, like, again, the whole purpose of this is not to, oh, I want to interview, like, Bill Gates and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, like, yeah, that would be cool. But we all, I think the thing is, it's, like, everyone in your own network that you have, you have some, like, heavy hitters, some just, like, people who have gone through things that you'll never go, that after you'll never get to go through, like, what you've gone through. And they're people like who can be kind of like that lighthouse to you. And I feel like that's the really cool thing about this, because it's just hearing about people's lives and what they've had to go through to get to where they are, and really opens up the light, because someone may just think like, oh, Brooks is a cocky person, or he's like, oh, he's just really prideful, but they may not know that you're the only child and you've had to go overcome with being kind of the overlooked and overbooked. I mean, go from a point to where, I don't want to say you're at the bottom, but it's going at the point where you've had to fight in other places where people easily just walked in. But it's not like you fought and then you stopped. It's like you fought, then you realized you got to where you wanted. Now you wanted to fight again. Like, there's that adversity I keep noticing where it's like you wanted something, you got it. Now I want something. You keep going.
Yeah.
And I guess lastly, I just want to say is, I guess, you know, don't be respectful of your time, but what are just some words of advice of, I don't want to say youth, but just words of advice of other people? And it's a twofold question. Like, what are some words of advice for everyone watching this from you? And what or who influenced you to influence other people?
Yeah. So on the topic of fighting, it's, you know, it has been like essentially it really is like an underdog story, like in sports. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you go from all like elementary school, you know, always last pick in football, like recess, because, you know, he's the shortest person. He's, you know, too small to play, everything like that. And then, you know, you start working, you know, then you go to tackle football in school, and then, you know, now you got the student section chanting your name after a play, and like lacrosse at ECU, freshman year practice squad, and then senior year exec board. So it's never like, you can't, like, I'm not saying you can be sad, like you can be satisfied with what you have, but you can always want more. I would definitely say is it like a piece of advice. Like, there's nothing wrong with being happy with where you're at, like right now, if that's like where you are, but you can always get better. That's what I would always say. I really like to think like my college story is wrapped up like this. Going into college, definitely an underdog, because you're coming from small private school to a large public institution. You go from being on the practice squad to being on the exec board, and you go from nobody knowing who you are as a freshman to a senior year, everybody knows who you are based on what you wear going to sporting events. Because I got famous wearing overalls on campus in a face mask.
That's going to be the picture of the thumbnail.
That would be a good one.
May have to get the pictures from Savannah. I'll give a shout out to Savannah. She's good.
And, you know, it's like a transition story. I was like, my story, like in college, and honestly, probably you can count the years like at the way, you can actually really count like the years like the way, high school to now, is the story about how an underdog became a favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, like people now expect me to succeed. People now want me on their team, even if I'm not good, because they know how hard like I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. My advice to anyone in college right now would be, make sure you're implemented into a group, like social groups, spend your time wisely for sure. There's nothing wrong with playing video games at night. Just make sure you have your school stuff done like before you do it. Mm-hmm. Have like routine schedule. I would say put your alarm clock like far away from you so you'd never like oversleep a class. It's like one of the things, you know, have people over like in your dorm or like your apartment. You don't have to be doing anything. You just hang out with people. High school wise, I would say, don't be afraid to like try new things. You'll go for a different sport that you didn't think you were going to. Anything like that. Like, honestly, high school, I wanted, so 10th grade, I wanted to be an athletic trainer because I knew I wasn't probably going to get to play professional sports. And I was like, athletic trainers are on the sideline. They go to all the, like, they're with the team all the time. And then I got into journalism my junior year of high school, and I was like, I can be a sports broadcaster. I was like, I want to be a sports broadcaster instead. And that's when I ended up going to school. So you can't be afraid to change your mind about things. I'm still going to work in the sports world. I'm still going to be a top sports broadcaster someday. Don't know if that's going to be 5 years down the road, 10 or 20, something like that. But, you know, one day it's going to happen. I'll be on TV calling a game. You know, my job with the Tobbs is just like the first step in a grand picture. You know, it's the start of a new chapter. So you can't be afraid to put yourself out there for anybody. That's how I got my internship at the radio station. That's how I got so many connections in the athletic department at ECU. Because I put myself out there, made myself known. And I wasn't afraid of getting rejected. But I kind of wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to. I tried to alleviate the process of that.
Perfect. And that's a good little segment there. That's, and it's good because like a lot of people are afraid of rejection, and like from girls, guys, anything like jobs.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, about girls, I'm terrified of getting rejected. completely different story for a completely different
podcast. Exactly. So before I hand it off to you to kind of say where people can find you online, I have to say thank you. I definitely, this past, how it happened, it was August when camp was finishing and finished out a week or 2 weeks earlier before kind of everything else, you know, kind of summer camp actually ends. And I remember him and Harper and Brandon from ECU, because that's everybody pretty much goes to ECU at who's come from the Y, kind of came and we're all having dinner at Fiesta, and, you know, someone just says, oh, it'd be cool to go to ECU for the weekend. And they're like, yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Someone says, nothing. How about you, Sushi? Nothing. How about you? Nothing. And then Brooks goes, okay, all right, right now. So who's coming? So then that happened to kind of coming pretty much like once or twice every single month and leading up to an amazing World Cup. So I have to say thank you, because personally for me, like I spent graduating high school after 2014. That's when like I was cool with the jocks, the soft, like I was cool with all these different type of people, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So like after when they all left and I was at Wake Tech for a little bit, like I went into just like now, like I just went into complete shutout mode, not on purpose, but everybody left. So there was a lot of things, I don't want to say missed out on because things happen for a reason, right? So it's like there were a lot of things that I did not do, and some of it I didn't do on purpose. I think it's, yeah, I'm still recording. I didn't do, and I didn't do on purpose. But is this still recording? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You froze for a little bit.
Internet connection dropped, so that's okay. But pretty much just wanted to say, I just bought a new Wi-Fi adapter for my computer. Just thank you. I mean, honestly, like coming out these past August till now, I'm really happy that I did it all. This, or not all, like being able to do everything that we did the past couple months, because if you think about it, if I waited, wanted to wait until now, that would never happen. And I've honestly, I learned so much, because like I was only used to like one path, like being able to go somewhere and people don't know who you are, being able to learn from other people, talk to different people, being able to be introduced to the lacrosse family and all his other friends, and really just being able to see him in his element, where it's like he's like going somewhere and you see one of your friends in a completely different element that you're used to, and you just see them owning it, not owning it like it's all theirs, but owning it like they are who they are, and it's the same person that they brought from Wake Forest, and being able to spread that and being able to do that. So I just want to say thank you for that. Because this, honestly, the past 6 months have just been amazing, six, seven, whatever it is, have just been amazing as I've personally grown, and you've definitely been a big part of that. Also a good friend of ours, David. And so, yeah, so thank you for that. So the next thing, I guess, as we finish out, where can people find you? Socials? Drop them below.
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook just as Brooks Hill, Nothing fancy. Twitter is Over the Hill 98. And Instagram is King of the Hill 98. Mm-hmm. Just a little switch of the words right there, because King of the Hill was already taken on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I had to make something a little bit different. But that's where people can find me. I post hot takes about sports. And by hot takes, I mean my biased opinion about the teams that I support, which is basically ECU and the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Anything else I find that's funny, I would say that's where everybody can find me. But yeah, I would say thanks for having me on. It was a great opportunity to share some stories, tell some stuff that I really haven't talked about in a while. And hopefully people can understand what I was trying to get through.
Perfect. And that is it.